Morning.
Good morning.
It's good. Good to see everyone this morning. Such a pleasure to be able to come and worship with people of like precious faith and to reinforce the commitments that we've made to serve God and work in His kingdom. This morning we're going to spend some time talking about the difference between an individual and his responsibilities and the church as a corporate whole, and how all of that works. So when we use the phrase, the work of the church, the question is, what do we mean by that? As we've talked before, and we're going to do a little review here. We talked about the church and what that means and what the word means and the fact that we are the called out to out of this world into the relationship with God. And the word church or the word ecclesia is used in several different ways in the New Testament. The first one is that is used to refer to the results of a deliberate action on the part of God. And this has to do with the realm of salvation and what God has said about that. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, we understand that it is something that God deliberately purposed from the beginning, from even before the beginning, God purposed. And that what the church is, it is a manifestation of His wisdom. That's what we see when we look at the church. And God has made it possible for us to have a relationship with Him. Something that God planned, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, he talked about from before the beginning of time. That He purposed that there would be those that would be called out of darkness into light. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is, it is used to refer to all the people of God without regard to time or place. The Hebrew writer makes mention of that. He calls the church of the firstborn ones. He calls them the general assembly. These are God's people. And we need to remember what that means as far as our obligation to each other and as far as our obligation to God. The third thing is that it is used to refer to God's people in a given locality. In other words, in Acts chapter 9, it talks about the church in a given area throughout, and they call it, I mean, the writer mentions it from the standpoint of throughout all of Judea, this locale, and Galilee, and Samaria, they all had peace. But the word church refers to this area, this general area. The fourth thing, is that it is used to refer to people who are physically assembled, much like we are today, physically assembled. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it talks about Saul and Barnabas, who were gathered together for a whole year in the church and taught much people. They were physically assembled together with them. And then a fifth thing is that it is used to refer to a body of people in a given location who work together personally and individually as a body. And we see that over in the book of Philippians. If you want to turn there, in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, says, "And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." No church. We are a part of a church that does things that are in turn authorized by God. So now where does this leave us then in talking about the work of a church and what that exactly means? Well, here are a couple of examples. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what we understand about this passage is that what Paul had done is that he is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And Paul received instructions by or from the Holy Spirit in revelation about what he was to tell this church who was struggling with allowing sin to be in their midst. And so what he did was, he essentially is saying to the people that I want you to come to one mind about how it is that you're going to deal with this situation that is going on within the body here, and you're doing nothing about it. How do you do that? How do you work at that? Well, there are at least five different occasions in this book, in this particular chapter, in which Paul tells them that they need to fix the problem. And the way to fix the problem was to separate themselves from the unbelievers, from the people who were ignoring what their responsibility and obligation were in a local church. He commanded the church to come to a meeting of the minds, to act together in withdrawing their relationship with the one that is committing fornication. This is what the church was supposed to do. They were to act together. This is one example of the work of the church. Another example, if you turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Verse 25 says this, and again, remember at the beginning of this book, he's writing to the church. He makes that clear about who is involved and what their relationship is. So in verse 25, it says this, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and the minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly in order that when you see him again, that you may rejoice and may be less concerned about you. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with joy and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." Epaphroditus, he was selected by the church. This is an action that the church took. He was to act as a minister to Paul. The word that is used here for minister means one who is a representative servant. And that's what he was with reference to the church. It is one who acted on behalf of the rest. And so when we hear people talk about the work of the church being done, And being done maybe specifically by some kind of organization other than the church, then what do we mean by that? Because people use the word church and the idea of the church doing this or the church doing that without any explanation of what it is that they mean. So they're leaving the wrong impression about the work of the church. So what is meant? Well, the first thing is that it is not something done by an organization apart from individual Christians. An organization apart, that some other body, some kind of organization that people have enlisted to accomplish something. So, when we talk about it, we do not mean some organization apart from us as individual Christians. A second thing is, it is not something done apart from people acting as Christians. So as Christians, we do certain things. We act upon certain ideas and ideals. We do it because that has to do with what God has laid out for the church and what the church is to do. So what do we mean then? Well, it is something done by the local church. Christians acting as a body personally and individually. But it all goes back to my relationship because I am a child of God and I have established a relationship through Jesus that God had intended from the beginning. So what about the difference? Collective versus individual actions. Well, there are some organizations that and relationships that are authorized in the Bible to do some things, like for instance a family, to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's telling us that the family is authorized to preach the word, to teach to others what God had intended about our life. And admittedly, some of these things may overlap. That's why what we have to do is we have to look contextually at what is being said and what is being done and what is accomplished. So, God's people, they do engage in various matters which are not within the sphere of authorized action of the church. So there's a difference between individual and a group idea and a group action. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there are three things that Paul mentions about a relationship that we have and he tells this church that if this is the situation you're in, don't seek to break ties, but what you need to do is to understand that you have an obligation to fulfill certain things that come from God that help us understand the work of the church. For instance, chapter 7 in verse 16. Verses 16 and 17. Marriage is the first thing. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk, and thus I direct in all the churches. He says, don't seek to get out of that relationship. What he says is that you need to follow what obligations are within this relationship that we have. A second thing is nationality. Don't seek to change that. And this is the what he uses in verse 18. He talks about circumcision, and which has to do with nationality. So in verse 18, it says, "Was any man called already? Any man called already circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised." Verse 19 says, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Let each man remain in that condition in which he was called." In which he was called. So we have two situations so far. We've got a marriage relationship, which is right in the sight of God. We have a national relationship between Jew and Gentile, having to do with circumcision and uncircumcision. And then in verse 21, he refers to free men or bondservants. Verse 21 says this, "Were you called unto a slave?" He says, "Do not worry about it, but if you are able also become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each man remain with God in that condition in which he was called." So we have three situations that we may find ourselves. You were called single. You were called married. You were called in one nationality as opposed to another, as a servant or a bond servant. Then you remain in that situation in which you find yourself when you become a child of God. The thing we need to keep in mind is that responsibility grows out of relationship. Anytime there is a relationship that is established, there are responsibilities that are connected with that. The church is said to be, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the pillar and the ground of truth. That is absolutely essential that we understand what that means. If it's a pillar and ground of truth, that means that's where we go to find out what God means and what he has in store for us and how we should live our lives. The pillar and ground of truth. A second thing is, the Thessalonian church served as this, as the pillar and ground of truth, when they sounded forth the word of the Lord. And it's important for us to understand what that means. The church is charged not just with sounding forth the word from the standpoint of spreading the gospel, but sounding forth the word about everything that the Bible teaches. We don't go through and decide that this is more important than that, or that's more important than this thing over here. It is that if it is truth, it is connected to the pillar and ground of truth, then we teach it, whatever it may be. But sometimes we want to rank things as being more important than other things. But when Paul talks about the fact that they sounded forth the word of the Lord, the church was charged with teaching everything the Bible teaches on that subject. Remember when Paul was with the elders from Ephesus on Miletus, he said that he did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. Everything that God said that they needed to hear. That's what we teach as Christians. The church is charged with teaching everything the Bible teaches on any subject. Now that does encompass quite a few things. But yet that's the truth that we have. And of course it all starts with the fact that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what the church does as the pillar and ground of truth, we preach Jesus just like Philip did. That's what's important. The church is charged with teaching everything that the Bible is teaching us on any particular subject. Then there is an example we have in Acts chapter 5. The church acts collectively when the whole body of people personally participates in an action. When we all participate in a particular action, that's when the church operates or participates. So the whole body of Corinthians were instructed to have no brotherly associations with this man in 1 Corinthians 5, with this man who was a fornicator. No association with him that stems from my relationship with God. That's important for us to understand. And the church was charged with doing something about it. That was the work that was given them. Another is Acts chapter 6. If you turn to Acts 6, these men, this church, chose some men to deal with the situation that had arisen among the Grecian widows. So in verse 1 of Acts 6, it says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and then they chose these men to take care of that situation. The church acted. That was the work of the church. They did that. And it's important for us to understand that, that this, what they were charged to do and what they did, you know, as a group, grew out of the relationship that they had with God through Jesus Christ. That's what we do. The church acts collectively through its chosen representatives, much like Epaphroditus. We read about him in Philippians chapter 2. He was an agent of the church, a representative of the Philippian church in assisting Paul in the work that he was doing. These men that were selected in Acts chapter 6 were selected to do the work of the church. As we said, the church acts collectively through its chosen representatives like Epaphroditus. So, the conclusion is that church work is distinct from individual work. In that church work, duties grow out of a relationship peculiar to Christ. peculiar to Christ. That's the key. It's peculiar to our relationship with God, and it's peculiar to our commitment to serve Jesus. Individual work duties connected with that grow out of a relationship peculiar to man. An example of that would be in the story of the Good Samaritan, what we call the Good Samaritan, is that the Samaritan saw a need, and because of humanity, he responded to that need, because it grew out of a relationship that we have with man. Now, when we help those that are in need, that are brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we're sending help to Judea, or we're sending it to the churches of Galatia, or we're sending it to Jerusalem, that grows out of my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's important for us to understand, and to make sure we do understand. People have a tendency to say that, well, if I can do it, then what that means is, that means the church can do it. And they conclude that whatever it is that I can do individually, the church can do. But that's not necessarily so. Growing out of the relationship that I have with Christ are things that have been authorized for us to do individually and collectively. But we get caught up sometimes because the world sees things differently than the Bible sees things. Like we said earlier, responsibility grows out of relationship. And I have certain responsibilities because I am a Christian. I have responsibilities to my brothers and sisters in Christ because we are Christians, because we have been bought with a price, because Jesus gave his blood for us. That's my responsibility and yours to do that. So there is a difference between individual action and collective or church action. So how do we know which is which? We go back to the Bible and see what the Bible tells us. That's how we know what it is. And I would urge you, as we always have, you go back and test what it is that we do. Make sure that we are in line with what the Bible has said about our responsibilities. And make sure that we have established a relationship based on the pillar and ground of truth. That's where we are. So I would urge you, as we always have, to go back and look at what the Bible says in actions that we should take individually and collectively, and to not be afraid to stand for what is right. Sometimes we shy away from some things, but we need to understand that the whole counsel of God, if it was good enough for Paul to preach, then it was good enough, it's good enough for us to preach as well. So I would urge you to go back and to look at some of these scriptures, some of these passages, and look at the work of the church. And what I find interesting is the work of the church is not just limited to benevolence or supporting the preaching of the gospel, but the work of the church also has to do with the inner workings of a local body, like the people in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We need to make sure that we see things as God intends for us to see them. And that's what he did when he sent Jesus to die for us. He gave us a way that we can establish fellowship with him And that we can live the way that he would have us to live, knowing that by living that way, heaven is our home and heaven is ours. And that's what we look for. So this morning, if you're a child of God and are struggling with things, as we sing sometimes, come to Jesus. Or if we know what we need to do in order to become a child of God, to live righteously in his sight, you need to think about your commitment and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins based upon the faith that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. So whatever your need and however we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing? Thank you.